Beyond presents Fragments, a moral play, both pithy and pleasant, of Albion Knight. Good title. So, this is a reasonably chunky fragment from Albion Knight, coming to us probably from the printing press of Thomas Colwell, around 1565, when he had it entered in the Stationer's Register. The play itself dating to, well, that's a bit more tricky. The windows of opportunity are 1537 to 38, i.e. mid-Henry VIII, before the fall of Thomas Cromwell, or the early years of the reign of Elizabeth I, from 1559 up to the registration of the text in 1565. Before we start the fragment, I should just remind you that these episodes are recorded around other projects, and that the texts are often thrown at people at speed. The fragment is both a fairly bog-standard morality play of its time, and a play that speaks remarkably directly to our time. So, be prepared for some political resonance you don't really wish was there, and also it's a chance to pull out your Tudor Interlude bingo card, which can be found on the website. Link in the show description. The sad thing about this fragment, beyond the fact that the rest of it's lost, is that it comes fairly early in the schema of the play, and that it's all set up and no payoff. We hear the plan, but we don't see the execution of it. There are four characters who we meet in the fragment. The central morality figure of Albion, a knight, who presumably stands in to represent the moral health of the nation, in a similar way to Widow England in King John by John Bale, or the eponymous Respublica by Nicholas Udall. In this play, Albion doesn't exactly seem to be too concerned about any problems yet, as the vice hasn't yet done bad things. Albion is supported by Justice, who is there to check dangerous movements in the play, and the fragment opens with Justice addressing an interloper to the world of Albion and Justice. This interloper is Injury, a vice who wants to divide and conquer, but you won't discover that till later. We discover later that Injury has invaded the court under the false name of Manhood. Yes, that's your first square in your Tudor Interlude bingo card. It's a vice who's changed his name to disguise who he is. However, Injury, a.k.a. Manhood, hasn't managed to disguise his person. And Justice says that Injury isn't dressed properly, and so can't be who he says he is. In an age of sumptuary laws and when clothing was extraordinarily expensive, wearing the right clothing in a court setting is quite the signifier of status. Anyway, we enter the scene as Injury and Justice argue about identity and clothing. Injury's opening remark is a little obscure, because we don't really have a full context for it, but it seems to be a lewd remark about his mother and her husband. Again, the lewdness suggests that he's not a high-status character.
Nay, I will taste of other assays, and spare our dame for holy days, so that for very need she must use her feet with other of our house, as such as she can get. Yet is she not much to blame, though she increase her husband's name, such children to bring as now you see me, tall man as I am, unworthy though I be?
Justice isn't impressed about Injury's manner of speaking, or clothes.
Thou speakest like a losel, full large and full lewdly, and not like a child gotten of true matrimony. And yet, though thy person induce no likelihood that in thee should be any manhood, yet, beside that, thou seemest of manhood frail, because so abused is thy light apparel.
Apparel, good sir, what fault is that? Though grey be her coat, why blame ye the wild cat? Why should he him deem of nature frail, though as wise as he would wear a foxtail, or a coat after the common usage, or have by nature a mad visage? This be no witness for justice to discern, nor certain knowledge of nature to learn. And Christ taught you, sir, how he should judge them, saying, Nolite judicare secundum facem. And yet in nature better knowledge should be than is in apparel, you know, purdy.
The Latin there being, don't judge by appearances. And justice will come back with, well, yeah, well, we should judge you based on how you have chosen to present yourself. Hmm?
Oh, yet in apparel is great abusion if it be framed without discretion. For in apparel there may a great token be of frailness, of pride, and instability, if common a size therein use no measure. For then is apparel a wanton foolish pleasure, and folly best meed is of presumption, when nature of reason used resumption, and therefore Christ taught a great wise prose, saying, Ex fructibus eorum cognoscetis eos.
Yet, with the same text, I pray you wipe your nose. Is that not ex vestibus eorum cognoscetis eos?
And here we've just had a little Latin battle. And this Latin isn't glossed, as, say, it is in the opening of Dr. Faustus, by surrounding dialogue. There is no attempt to explain to the audience what the Latin means by other means. So it's assumed the audience will get that. So a court or academic audience might be assumed here. Anyway, the two Latin lines are the same, except for one word. The quote from Christ is, "By their works you will know them." And that is what justice says. Injury, not unreasonably, we might add, actually, replies by changing the word works with clothes. Yeah, he didn't say, by their clothes you will know them. Did he?
And therefore Christ taught a great wise prose, saying, Ex fructibus eorum cognoscetis eos.
Yet, with the same text, I pray you wipe your nose. Is that not ex vestibus eorum cognoscetis eos?
At which point our title character steps in. Dudes, can't we all be friends?
Yet, friends, I pray you once again to cease your travice that breeds disdain. And heartily both I do you pray that both your friendships have I may.
Sir, as for mine, ye shall not miss. But this gentleman, I think, will go piss.
Nay, Sir Albion, I will not draw back if that of me ye have lack, so that I were in perfect surety that this man here should manhood be.
And we return to the question, is this guy really manhood or an impostor? And now Injury says, it's not my fault you've forgotten me, I've been away. And Albion, who we must take to be a somewhat trusting soul, is completely taken in. Because plot.
Now, Christ's benedicite, how Albion and justice hath forgot me. Because of me they had no exercise of long time by any enterprise. Wherefore, sithen, you cannot know me by experience, I wot not how you should know me but by my credence. Therefore, by my truth and by my honesty, believe me, for manhood truly I am he.
Then, by your oath, I am content to have your friendship with good assent. And justice, I pray you to do the same.
Sir, if manhood be his name, as he hath sworn, I would be glad that his friendship also I had.
Then, justice, I pray you both, let me knit you both upon this oath.
And then he taketh both their hands together. Now, anyone who has seen a later Elizabethan and beyond play will know an authority figure trying to get his attendants to get along with an oath always ends in death. Okay, well, if we had the whole play, I suspect the ending would just be banishment, vices are vanquished but rarely destroyed. But, I mean, it's possibly a later text, and things are changing, so probably not death, probably just banishment. But anyway, this never works. This whole, just shake hands and be friends, never works. It didn't work when you were children at primary school, and it doesn't work now. Anyway, I might have done, I don't know. Sorry, anyway, moving on.
Now, friends, I trust we be all three, and with this knot I pray you contented to be.
Ha, sir, you ought to be contented best of all. Four.
And here we hit a lacuna, which we ride roughshod over in our recording, frankly. I'm not sure how much is lost. It's two leaves, so four printed pages, which is double the amount of text we've given you so far. We've only done two pages so far. So injury, alias manhood, has now been accepted into the household, and now they're arguing about a new law to create some justice in the land. And obviously Big J justice is all in favour, but injury, manhood, is not so keen. We rejoin the scene as Injury expounds against this statute, bringing in a number of potential characters into the play, and an institution which is basically Parliament.
Where justice is treated with due equity, and where no favour nor meed should be, and when reason hath tried there every deal that such an act were good for the commonweal, if therein any loss may be, to the disadvantage of principality, such an act loseth all his suit, with a little inducing of reason astute. And, if it touch the lord's spiritual, or be disadvantage to the lord's temporal, farewell, go bet. This bill may sleep, as well as through the parliament creep. And, if that merchants be moved withal, or any multitude of the common hall, this is not for us, say they then. This bill is naught but for to wipe a pen, and this is all your new equity, and for all your message yet thus will it be.
So here he mentions principality, and in the context of a moral text that could be just a concept, or it's a character who will embody that concept on stage later. And it seems that principality is a character and represents the kingdom more fully than Albion does. Albion is a knight, and principality is presumably the head of state. See plays Magnificence by Skelton and King John again by Bale and Res Publica again by Udall for similar differences between protagonists and higher figures within the scheme. Often the central protagonist is slightly further down the scale, and that a higher representative turns up at the end. Anyway, Albion is panicking a bit, and Injury is able to suggest, oh, you'll be made a laughing stock. Oh, if you go through with this bill, whew.
Oh, alas, if this may not reform it be, I shall never be sure of prosperity.
Yeah, and what followeth hereof, Master Albion? To your person, universal derision.
Why, to me, derision?
For all other strange nations, they will rail on ye with open proclamations, saying, whosoever do as he does is half a man and half a wild goose.
Why half a man and half a wild goose?
For, with high reason, they say ye can dispute and try out perils with laborious suit and eke the treasure for the common veil as far as wit or reason can assail. But when all is done and your statute made, then forth ye go in a wise trade to bring it all to good conclusion and put it never in execution. Then speak they further, instead of a mock, they have made a statute like a woodcock, that hath but one eye and the other blind, and it will turn with every wind, and for because ye study but for the beginning, and never provide for a sure ending, beginning like a man, ye take greater say at last, like a wild goose, even but to fly away.
Justice steps in to say, well, if all that is true, well, A, that's a shame, but B, oh, I think we can sell the idea of justice if we try. And Justice and Albion agree to go off and do some lobbying.
Well, if this be true, it is more pity. Yet let us endeavour, both ye and I, to taste our message that it were done to help hear of some
reformation?
Yea, that to do I pray you both. And to you too I promise by oath, I shall me endeavour with the commonalty their whole allegiance to keep in unity.
Then God be your speed, for I will forth my way.
And I will after. God guide us that best may.
And I will tarry no longer while, but as I see you over the stile.
Then departeth Albion and Justice both, by which we can infer there are no additional supernumeraries in this scene. There might be, but if we assume that this is a small-scale interlude text that probably has a cast of about five, then making sure that you're not making the stage too busy and giving actors a chance to get ready for their next entrance, that seems reasonable that you don't bother with an extra couple of people. And they exit, of course, to get the various branches of government on side. And that's where this play really is very interesting, actually, because it's much more interested in the practical side of politics than most other texts, with the possible exception of Res Publica. From now on, we will see vested interests planning how to work the system, setting different groups in government against each other. First, an audience address, confessing that injury isn't manhood, but injury. Begging the question, did the audience know who he was before this moment? Obviously, we know. We've been looking at the physical text with speech prefixes. But was the audience expected to know all this in advance? Is this a surprise? I really don't believe anyone watching wouldn't have known he was a vice. I mean, we've all been to this harvester before, but I mean, maybe it was supposed to. I'm just not buying it. These plays are very conventional in structure, and there would have been a whole host of visual signifiers, especially if he's not really in a costume pretending to be manhood. He's just wearing whatever injury is supposed to wear. Anyway, that's a bit of an aside, which can't be fully answered. Anyway, here Injury lays out his game plan at Westminster, mentioning more probable allegorical characters for later in the play, perhaps. So, sadly, we will never meet Maintenance, Experience, Peace. But we will, in a moment, meet Division. But we've got to line him up before he gets on stage.
Ah, oh, now here beginneth a game, I wis. For manhood they ween my name is. But trust me, sirs, if I should not lie, my name is called Injury. Which name to hide I thought it policy, and turn it to manhood, and what you why? It is a part of our new experience, when I against right make stiff defence, that justice in his seat may not be unstabled. Then am I, Injury, manhood called? Oh, then of me croaketh every man, how like a lord this fellow stare can the law to defend without a fall, for all their pleading in Westminster Hall. Or say what they will, and babble there, yet Maintenance and I will keep the chair. If it come once to the country, then as I will, so shall it be. A very cause, sirs, why I hide my name, was they should not suspect my fame. Because I would spy all their intent to change their purpose after my judgment. And so will I do, for this is their pretense, by means of justice to bring in experience, that peace should continue the people among, and so by that means to banish me wrong. But trust me, sirs, I will none of that. But rather by their faces I will them scrat, and me to maintain in this opinion I have an old mate, called Division. That shall be of my counsel in this case, which I trust will not turn his face till peace be driven clean from Albion. And then let justice send me alone. For I trust, ere he and I have done, he shall go whistle in a marrow-bone as for any rightful judgment that after this shall follow his intent. And now, sirs, will I go my way, my fellow to seek, find him, if I may.
And having laid out the divide and conquer plan, here injury goeth out, and so we now enter a new scene. And having mentioned division and so set them up as the next encounter, division cometh in with a bill, a sword, a buckler, and a dagger. So division is tooled up. A bill, a sword, a buckler, and a dagger? That's a lot of kit. He's clinking and clanking all over the place, probably. He might also sing this opening bout of Skeltonics. And yes, Skeltonics, another tick on your Tudor Interlude bingo card.
Have in a rusk, out of the busk, a lusty captain, a boar with a tusk, a sturdy lusk, any battle to derain, a stallion stout to bear it out in everywhere, and never to lout for a knave's clout, though my head it bear, as stiff as a stake, battle to make, as never afeared, I can awake these knaves and take them fast by the beard. For peace is bent, nor full intent to live at ease shall not prevent, let of my judgment, to alter in disease. Such cast I have, to conjure a knave out of his skin, though justice rave, to hang or save. Fie on him, Horson!
Here cometh injury in again. So, a quick breather for injury, and they start with the traditional greeting of the criminal class. Hello! Haven't you been hanged yet?
Merry! Fie on him, Horson! What? Art thou mad again?
What?
Mine old friend, injury. How were other hanged and thou let go by?
By God, because I took the lay. For lack of thee to be mine attorney.
What, Horson, wouldst thou have me be trussed up instead of thee?
Yeah, by God, but even for a say, that I might learn of you to know the play.
To play, Horson, what meanest thou by that?
By God, methought even now you were in a snare, or else an hunting to catch an hare. But hark, I say, do together and spell. Beware ever among of the friary clerk's bell.
It is doubtful to me all that thou speakest.
I pray thee spell it thyself, and tell me what thou meanest. What do you want about? Injury informs Division that he's in with Albion and Justice, and so he's going up in the world, and tells him of his assumed name of Manhood, and that he has a plan to sow the seeds of chaos.
But wouldest thou needs so fain know it? I tell thee, with Albion and Justice I am knit. Therefore, it were wisdom for thee to beware what thou sayest before me.
What? Horson, then thou hast forsaken me.
Nay, I had liefer you were skinned all three, for I have turned the wrong side of my hood, and told them my name was Manhood. And now, by God, in any wise, for both our eases, I must have thine advice.
What? Hast thou now changed thine old copy to Justice and Albion to be a common hobby? Or art thou afeard of thy old name that in every place is had in fame and is supported in such sufferancy from the lowest unto the highest degree?
Nay, by God, I was not afeard. It was but for to clothe their beard or rub it of all that they meant, that I might know all their intent. Whereof the matter is too long to tell for the time that we did mell, but shortly to show thee for a conclusion, their mind is to bring us both to confusion.
I pray thee, by what means?
Albion hath sent Justice to principality to have assistance, and me to sufferancy of the Lords Temporal to have their aid, that Justice in no wise should be delayed. And this thou knowest well enough, perdie. Thus they mean to destroy thee and me. And as for Justice forth is gone, speed as he can, but I tarried alone. And yet I would no messenger be till I had the advice of thee. Therefore, how sayest thou, now in this case? We shall not be idle to play at this base.
Tush, as for this, I care not a pudding prick. for we too will go through thin and thick. May grease their heads every one, though they be as hard as rock or stone.
I prithee, tell me how.
Injury needs division for a reason, because division is an expert in, you know, dividing people. So turn the commons against the ruler principality, and then divide the lords among themselves.
Tell me how.
First, I myself will enterprise that peace shall have no exercise between the commons and principality, nor between lords spiritual and lords of the temporality.
Ere you go any further, tell me by what means.
That's a good outline. But now we need a little detail, and this is where you might get a little frustrated with this fragment, because it's all plotting, and then we don't see how all this comes off. It's a lot of exposition coming up now. Anyway, division has spies in the court, and the lords. Double device and old debate.
I have two spies of great exercise. The one is called Double Device. Him will I send, I may tell thee, and unto the court to principality. And him will I charge that with his provision, principality and the commons to set at division. The second spy is called Old Debate, a singular fellow with a bald pate. Him will I send to the lords spiritual to cause them to wrangle with the lords temporal.
You have spies in place, you say? What will they do? Well, the first spy will sow distrust between the head of state principality and the commons, about where the money for this statute is coming in from, and is it being spent wisely, and are they getting their duly suitable kickbacks for supporting this bill, etc., etc. That's how power works.
What shall they use in their device?
The one to principality shall surmise that the commons' hearts do arise against him, when that he doth ask, in time of need, our money for task, his heart to move with such unkindness. Then the same spy shall use the like doubleness, and go to the commons, and to them tell that principality, with equity, doth rebel more to his lucre in every deal, applying his affection then to the commonweal. And how that he, of negligence, doth not apply for their defence, neither by sea nor by land, neither by high waves, neither by strand, but thieves and raveners and murderers eke, daily true men they pursue and seek, and that his laws indifferently be not used. But maintenance and bribery is suffered alone, without reformation, that the poor commons is in altercation of this matter. And what not what to say, bringing them in opinion that they ought not to pay to principality their duty of very desert, except like duty be ministered on his part.
Oh, I may God avow this is a sovereign bait to bring our purpose to a narrow strait. But what shall the other spy then do? A fellowship? Tell me that also.
But what's the other spy doing? Well, he will turn the lords temporal against the lords spiritual, the gentry versus the church, both of whom have a lot of land and vested interests in that clash.
Tell me that also.
Marry, he shall inform the lords temporal that the spiritual men would rule all, and say it was shame to them by the rood, that being descended from the noble blood, to suffer any other of such power to be, to have the governance about principality, sithen they inheritors are born to be of the high council by blood and dignity, which medicine, I trow, will not likely start till it have tickled them all by the heart. Then shall the same spy taste the other part and turn to them the wrong side of the car, and say the God of his high great grace to them have given good fortune and space by learning, sadness and gravity, and for their due reward in honour to be and bear to them boldly in hand, that they ought by reason to rule this land, because the power of temporality have no knowledge in cunning, perdie, neither in youth will labour the passage of pain for virtue to rule in age, so that, if they rulers should be, they know not how for insufficiency.
Thus will I divide by his proper train, that peace amongst them shall not reign.
Mary, this is a cast of a new horse comb to rub any on the navel that hath a tickle womb. This gear will work, after my fantasy, to make of an old grudge a new frenzy, and this openeth the gate even for me, that both the one and the other degree shall wrestle with themselves in such afflictions that every one shall disdain all other jurisdictions.
This discord delights injury, and will give him room to work out his own plan. But what is it? So, I think I've got this right. Justice has a brother called Peace, and they're going to be all out of sorts by this current plotting. And Peace has a daughter called Plenty, who is affianced to Albion. But Albion is drawn a little too much to rest and pleasures, so that Albion might be drawn away from Justice and Peace and into his own delights, leaving the Plenty of the kingdom to go to rack and ruin. This is when allegorical things start getting a bit stretched, when they go too deep into what the allegory's doing there, but go with it, it's fine.
What wilt thou do then? Let me hear thy cast.
This gentle seed will I sow at the last, when Peace by thee is in perplexity, and what not in what part quite to be, then Justice must ever be in doubt which part and need shall bear him out, so that for my part he shall stand still while I run a large and have all my will.
But to what conclusion wilt thou bring it then?
Why, knowest not thou? Then hark me, men. This Justice is a fellow of a far cast, and driveth such drifts to rule at the last, and Peace is his brother of one degree, which hath a fair daughter that is called Plenty, and Albion, as long as rest him treats, he loveth fair flesh of all meats. And it is a common saying that Justice, Peace, and he will conclude a marriage with fair Dame Plenty, and then will Albion, that old sot, with rest and peace so on her dote, that then she, by her and her friends, shall sail in storms at all winds.
By God's bread, thou sayest truth, but this to help we must not use sloth.
No, we must bustle, lots to do, and injury says to division, go deliver a message that Justice has had an argument with the head of state principality, and because of his failure, can't face Albion.
No, and therefore, hark me to an end. Thou and I shall this matter defend, for thou shalt to Albion a messenger be, and say thou were present when principality with Justice fell at great debate, when that his message he did delate from Albion, and tell him that principality in no wise his will with equity will grant to exercise, but that the law should be but after his liking, and every writ after his entitling, and that his will, wherever least to strive, should be the best part for his prerogative. And then they both suddenly upon this in great rages departed, I wis. Wherefore Justice said, I am in such confusion that I am ashamed to turn again to Albion. And when this message thou hast done soberly, tell him thy name is Policy.
Ding, ding, another name change on the Tudor bingo card. Why must I change my name? Asks Division, and Injury says that when you've made Albion all sad face about the split with Justice, he will turn to you for advice.
What the devil meanest thou by that? Should I dissemble from a wildcat that ever before this have used patching, and now to play the wise man and leave scratching?
Why, Horson? It is a point of high madness for a time to dissemble sadness. And though thou be already as mad as a hart, yet will I make thee madder than thou art.
Oh, well, say on then.
Marry, then, even thus I say, When that to Albion thou hast taken thy way and done thy message as thee I bade, he will for a while be pensive and sad, and he will ask thine advice. Then must thou dissemble thyself wise.
Division doesn't think he can pull off wisdom. I mean, they're not wrong.
I make God a vow, that is impossible. That I and wisdom should knit in one quenable, or in my brain to print such abusion that wisdom and I should be in one conclusion. For when I was young, my mother charged me and said, "Beware wit, son, though thou never thee."
And I am not disposed to change much your life, but hear me speak an end, though you never thrive.
Well, say on then, and tell me what counsel I shall give Albion that may sound well to both our prophets. That would I know.
Thou shalt teach him a wrong cross row, and tell him best it is, after thine advice, with mirth and prodigality him to exercise, and take of his own good while he may, lest all at last be bribed away. 4.
Yes, turn to mirth and prodigality, Albion. Turn away from sensible things. But here the text ends, just as it's getting interesting. So for those playing along with our Tudor interlude bingo card, we have Vice adopts a fake name, woohoo, Latin, Skeltonics, and, close enough, plans by Vices to drive out a good counsellor. Probably lots of others, like disguising costume changes and banishment, but we don't have them here. This is a fragment that speaks to the moral interlude form, as just discussed, but also sets up a really relevant scheme about division in government. And as such is a text I've been thinking about developing into a fuller show for some time. We used to call this our Brexit text in Exploring Sessions when we first started reading it, but bad actors sowing active discord, well, that's pretty universal now, and you can pick your poisonous movements to taste. And that's it from this fragment. But we can infer the rest from what we've been given, that division will occur. Albion will fall into dissolute ways and justice and peace driven away, and plenty across the land will be lost. But then the virtues will return, redemption will occur, driving out the vices, and Albion and plenty will go forward under a united principality. I mean, unless they all just die horribly, who knows? If you want to go further and hear how we got here, our earlier exploring sessions are available online, links in the show description. But now, once again, sit back and enjoy the full audio recording of The Fragment of Albion Knight, with Haydon McCabe as Albion Knight, Simon Nader as Justice, Valentina Vinci as Injury, and myself, Robert Crichton, as Division. Enjoy.
Nay, I will taste of other assays, and spare our dame for holy days, so that for very need she must use her feet with other of our house, as such as she can get. Yet is she not much to blame, though she increase her husband's name, such children to bring as now you see me, tall man as I am, unworthy though I be?
Thou speakest like a losel, full large and full lewdly, and not like a child gotten of true matrimony. And yet, though thy person induce no likelihood that in thee should be any manhood, yet, beside that, thou seemest of manhood frail, because so abused is thy light apparel.
Apparel? Good sir, what fault is that? Though grey be her coat, why blame ye the wild cat? Why should he him deem of nature frail, though as wise as he would wear a foxtail, or a coat after the common usage, or have by nature a mad visage? This be no witness for justice to the sir, nor certain knowledge of nature to learn. And Christ taught you, sir, how he should judge them, saying, "Nolite judicare secundum facem." And yet in nature better knowledge should be than is in apparel, you know, Purdy.
Oh, yet in apparel is great abusion if it be framed without discretion. For in apparel there may a great token be of frailness, of pride, and instability, if common a size therein use no measure. For then is apparel a wanton foolish pleasure, and folly best meed is of presumption, when nature of reason used resumption, and therefore Christ taught a great wise prose, saying, ex fructibus eorum cognoscetis eos.
Yet, with the same text, I pray you wipe your nose. He said not, ex vestibus eorum cognoscetis eos.
Yet, friends, I pray you once again to cease your travice that breeds disdain. And heartily both, I do you pray, that both your friendships have I may.
Sir, as for mine, you shall not miss. But this gentleman, I think, will go piss.
Nay, Sir Albion, I will not draw back if that of me ye have lack, so that I were in perfect surety that this man here should manhood be.
Now, Christ's benedicite, how Albion and Justice hath forgot me. Because of me they had no exercise of long time by any enterprise. Wherefore, sithen you cannot know me by experience, I wot not how you should know me but by my credence. Therefore, by my truth and by my honesty, believe me, for manhood truly I am he.
Then, by your oath, I am content to have your friendship with good assent. And Justice, I pray you to do the same.
Sir, if manhood be his name, as he hath sworn, I would be glad that his friendship also I had.
Then, Justice, I pray you both, let me knit you both upon this oath. Now, friends, I trust we be all three, and with this knot I pray you contented to be.
Ha, sir, you ought to be contented best of all. For where justice is treated with due equity, and where no favour nor meed should be, and when reason hath tried there every deal, that such an act were good for the commonweal, if therein any loss may be, to the disadvantage of principality, such an act loseth all his suit, with a little inducing of reason astute. And if it touch the Lord's spiritual, or be disadvantage to the Lord's temporal, farewell, go bet. This bill may sleep, as well as through the Parliament creep. And if that merchants be moved withal, or any multitude of the common hall, this is not for us, say they then. This bill is naught but for to wipe a pen, and this is all your new equity, and for all your message yet thus will it be.
Oh, alas, if this may not reform it be, I shall never be sure of prosperity.
Yeah, and what followeth hereof, Master Albion? To your person, universal derision.
Why to me, derision?
For all other strange nations, they will rail on ye with open proclamations, saying, whosoever do as he does is half a man and half a wild goose.
Why half a man and half a wild goose?
For, with high reason, they say ye can dispute and try out perils with laborious suit, and eke the treasure for the common veil as far as wit or reason can assail. But when all is done and your statute made, then forth ye go in a wise trade to bring it all to good conclusion and put it never in execution. Then speak they further, instead of a mock, they have made a statute like a woodcock, that hath but one eye and the other blind, and it will turn with every wind, and for because ye study but for the beginning, and never provide for a sure ending, beginning like a man, ye take greater say at last, like a wild goose, even but to fly away.
Well, if this be true, it is more pity. Yet let us endeavour, both ye and I, to taste our message, that it were done to help hear of some reformation?
Yea, that to do, I pray you both. And to you too I promise by oath, I shall me endeavour with the commonalty their whole allegiance to keep in unity.
Then God be your speed, for I will forth my way.
And I will after. God guide us that best may.
And I will tarry no longer while, but as I see you over the stile. Ah, now, here beginneth a game, I wis. For manhood, they win my name is. But trust me, sirs, if I should not lie, my name is called Injury. Which name to hide I thought it policy, and turn it to manhood, and what you why? It is a part of our new experience, when I against right make stiff defence, that justice in his seat may not be enstabled. Then am I, Injury, manhood called? Oh, then of me croaketh every man, how like a lord this fellow stare can the law to defend without a fall, for all their pleading in Westminster Hall. Or say what they will, and babble there, yet maintenance and I will keep the chair. If it come once to the country, then as I will, so shall it be. A very cause, sirs, why I hide my name, was they should not suspect my fame, because I would spy all their intent to change their purpose after my judgment. And so will I do, for this is their pretense, by means of justice to bring in experience, that peace should continue the people among, and so by that means to banish me wrong. But trust me, sirs, I will none of that, but rather by their faces I will them scrat, and me to maintain in this opinion I have an old mate, called Division, that shall be of my counsel in this case, which I trust will not turn his face till peace be driven clean from Albion. And then let justice send me alone, for I trust, ere he and I have done, he shall go whistle in a marrow bone as for any rightful judgment that after this shall follow his intent. And now, sirs, will I go my way, my fellow to seek, find him, if I may.
Having a rusk out of the busk, a lusty captain, a boar with a tusk, a sturdy lusk, any battle to derain, a stallion stout to bear it out in everywhere, and never to lout for a knave's clout, though my head it bear, as stiff as a stake, battle to make, as never afeared, I can awake these knaves and take them fast by the beard. For peace is bent, nor full intent to live at ease shall not prevent, let of my judgment, to alter in disease. Such cast I have, to conjure a knave out of his skin, though justice rave, to hang or save. Fie on him, Horson!
Merry! Fie on him, Horson! What? Art thou mad again?
What? Mine old friend Injury. How were other hanged and thou let go by?
By God, because I took the lay, for lack of thee to be mine attorney.
What, Horson, wouldst thou have me be trussed up instead of thee?
Yeah, by God, but even for a say, that I might learn of you to know the play.
To play, Horson? What meanest thou by that?
By God, methought even now you were in a snare, or else an hunting to catch an hare. But hark, I say, do together and spell. Beware ever among of the friary clerk's bell.
It is doubtful to me all that thou speakest. I pray thee, spell it thyself, and tell me what thou meanest.
But wouldst thou needs so fain know it? I tell thee, with Albin and Justice I am knit. Therefore, it were wisdom for thee to beware what thou sayest before me.
What? Horson, then thou hast forsaken me.
Nay, I had liefer you were skinned all three, for I have turned the wrong side of my hood, and told them my name was Manhood. And now, by God, in any wise, for both our eases, I must have thine advice.
What? Hast thou now changed thine old copy to Justice and Albion to be a common hobby? Or art thou afeard of thy old name that in every place is had in fame and is supported in such sufferancy from the lowest unto the highest degree?
Nay, by God, I was not afeard. It was but for to clothe their beard, or rub it of all that they meant, that I might know all their intent. Whereof the matter is too long to tell for the time that we did mell, but shortly to show thee for a conclusion, their mind is to bring us both to confusion.
I pray thee, by what means?
Albion hath sent Justice to principality to have assistance, and me to sufferancy of the Lords Temporal to have their aid, that Justice in no wise should be delayed. And this thou knowest well enough, Perdie, thus they mean to destroy thee and me. And as for Justice forth is gone, speed as he can, but I tarried alone, and yet I would no messenger be till I had the advice of thee. Therefore, how sayest thou, now in this case? We shall not be idle to play at this base.
Tush, as for this, I care not a pudding prick, for we two will go through thin and thick, may grease their heads every one, though they be as hard as rock or stone.
I prithee, tell me how.
First, I myself will enterprise that peace shall have no exercise between the commons and principality, nor between lords spiritual and lords of the temporality.
Ere you go any further, tell me by what means.
I have two spies of great exercise. The one is called Double Device. Him will I send, I may tell thee, and unto the court to principality. And him will I charge that with his provision, principality and the commons to set at division. The second spy is called Old Debate, a singular fellow with a bald pate. Him will I send to the Lords Spiritual to cause them to wrangle with the Lords Temporal.
What shall they use in their device?
The one to principality shall surmise that the commons' hearts do arise against him, when that he doth ask, in time of need, our money for task, his heart to move with such unkindness. Then the same spy shall use the like doubleness, and go to the commons, and to them tell that principality, with equity, doth rebel more to his lucre in every deal, applying his affection then to the commonweal. And how that he, of negligence, doth not apply for their defence, neither by sea nor by land, neither by high waves, neither by strand, but thieves and raveners and murderers eke, daily true men they pursue and seek, and that his laws indifferently be not used. But maintenance and bribery is suffered alone, without reformation, that the poor commons is in altercation of this matter. And what not what to say, bringing them in opinion that they ought not to pay to principality their duty of very desert, except like duty be ministered on his part.
Oh, I may God avow this is a sovereign bait to bring our purpose to a narrow strait. But what shall the other spy then do? A fellowship? Tell me that also.
Marry, he shall inform the Lords Temporal that the spiritual men would rule all, and say it was shame to them by the rood, that being descended from the noble blood, to suffer any other of such power to be, to have the governance about principality, sithen they inheritors are born to be of the high council by blood and dignity.
which medicine I trow will not likely start till it have tickled them all by the heart. Then shall the same spy taste the other part and turn to them the wrong side of the cart and say the God of his high great grace to them have given good fortune and space by learning, sadness and gravity, and for their due reward in honour to be and bear to them boldly in hand, that they ought by reason to rule this land, because the power of temporality have no knowledge in cunning, perdie, neither in youth will labour the passage of pain for virtue to rule in age, so that, if they rulers should be, they know not how for insufficiency. Thus will I divide, by his proper train, that peace amongst them shall not reign.
Mary, this is the cast of a new horse comb, to rub any on the navel that hath a tickle womb. This gear will work, after my fantasy, to make of an old grudge a new frenzy, and this openeth the gate, even for me, that both the one and the other degree shall wrestle with themselves in such afflictions that every one shall disdain all other jurisdictions.
What wilt thou do then? Let me hear thy cast.
This gentle seed will I sow at the last, when peace by thee is in perplexity, and what not in what part quite to be, then justice must ever be in doubt which part and need shall bear him out, so that for my part he shall stand still while I run a large and have all my will.
But to what conclusion wilt thou bring it then?
Why, knowest not thou? Then hark me, men. This justice is a fellow of a far cast, and driveth such drifts to rule at the last, and peace is his brother of one degree, which hath a fair daughter that is called Plenty, and Albion, as long as rest him treats, he loveth fair flesh of all meats. And it is a common saying that justice, peace, and he will conclude a marriage with fair Dame Plenty, and then will Albion, that old sot, with rest and peace so on her dote, that then she, by her and her friends, shall sail in storms at all winds.
By God's bread, thou sayest truth! But this to help, we must not use sloth.
No, and therefore hark me to an end. Thou and I shall this matter defend, for thou shalt to Albion a messenger be, and say thou were present when principality with justice fell at great debate, when that his message he did delate from Albion, and tell him that principality in no wise his will with equity will grant to exercise, but that the law should be but after his liking, and every writ after his entitling, and that his will, wherever least to strive, should be the best part for his prerogative. And then they both suddenly upon this in great rages departed, I wis. Wherefore justice said, I am in such confusion that I am ashamed to turn again to Albion. And when this message thou hast done soberly, tell him thy name is Policy.
What the devil meanest thou by that? Should I dissemble from a wild cat that ever before this have used patching, and now to play the wise man and leave scratching?
Why, Horson, it is a point of high madness for a time to dissemble sadness. And though thou be already as mad as a hart, yet will I make thee madder than thou art.
Oh, well, say on then.
Mary, then, even thus I say, when that to Albion thou hast taken thy way and done thy message as thee I bade, he will for a while be pensive and sad, and he will ask thine advice. Then must thou dissemble thyself wise.
Oh, I make God a vow, that is impossible, that I and wisdom should knit in one quenable, or in my brain to print such abusion that wisdom and I should be in one conclusion. For when I was young, my mother charged me and said,
Beware wit, son, though thou never thee.
And I am not disposed to change much your life, but hear me speak an end, though you never thrive.
Well, say on then, and tell me what counsel I shall give Albion that may sound well to both our prophets. That would I know.
Thou shalt teach him a wrong cross row, and tell him best it is, after thine advice, with mirth and prodigality him to exercise, and take of his own good while he may, lest all at last be bribed away. 4.
In Albion Night by the Unknown, Albion Night was played by Hayden McCabe, Justice by Simon Nader, Injury by Valentina Vinci, and Robert Crichton as Division. Fragments is hosted and produced by Robert Crichton for the Beyond podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, why not buy us a coffee on ko-fi.com or become a patron and get early access and bonus material? Our patrons get to choose the plays we work on next. Go to patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. Links in the show description. Till next time.
Goodbye.
Then God be your speed, for I will forth my way.
I will fit this as well. On a good day, I'll sixth it.